joining us right now is a Boston guy who made it big. You remember Palisades Park and the Tallahassee Lassie and, of course, the theme song from Where the Action Is. We're talking about none of the other but Freddie Boom Boom Cannon. And he joins us right now. He's written a book. It's called Where the Action Is, a familiar title for those of us who watched the show that was produced by Dick Clark and had a theme song by Freddie Cannon. Freddie, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Great to have you here.
Glad you're having me on.
This is a lot of fun. I'll tell you, it's a quick read. It's a very easy read. And Mark Bagel, who wrote this with you, we've had him on for a couple of other books he's written, too. Does a nice job.
Right, he does. He's very good.
So tell us a lot. First of all, someone asked me to ask you about Revere Beach. Did you spend any time there when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. Almost every, I think, every weekend or every other day, whenever my mom could take me down to the beach. When I was small, we'd sit on the sand. I mean, they had the rides and everything was going on down there, you know. And that's where I met my wife, too, at Revere Beach.
She comes there you
from
go.
Boston. So I had met her at the nautical bowling alleys on Revere Beach. And that came later, I'm trying to think now. I was like 17 years old. She was very young, and I started dating her then.
Huh. Now, the whole thing, people all know you. I guess probably the most famous song that you're associated with is Palisades Park.
Well, you know, that is, but I don't think, you know, at this time, in this time and current time now that's going on, I think it's been pushed aside. I think the most famous song will be Tallahassee Lassie, only because the Rolling Stones covered it in their new album, Some Girls. Now that brings it right to the surface. You know, it tells you that it's a real, true rock and roll record. I mean, Palisades Park is a great song, and it came off great on the record, and it did very well. It got played a lot. But as far as I'm concerned, Tallahassee Lassie is probably the best song that I ever recorded because it was a real rock and roll record. And there was nothing, it was a Rolling Stones type record. So that's why they covered it. It's a sound. That's the sound that Freddie Cannon loves to do, is that sound there. Not any of the other records, but Tallahassee. I could sing that all day long.
Well, I was going to mention the Stones, but was that a song that was used in a movie last year, or was that the Palisades Park?
Oh, Palisades Park was used in the movie, yeah.
One of the middle movies, right?
It always comes down to Palisades Park. You know, the song was a great song, and I'm not taking it away from that, and the record was produced well and did well. You know, I just keep going back only because, you know, in the book that I have out where the action is, if you look at the quotes in the back of the book, you'll see who I influenced because of Tallahassee Lassie. I influenced the Stones, Bruce Springsteen, Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin, Chuck Berry. I mean, they're all, why? Why is it that, not Palisades Park? What does that tell you? It tells me that if I influence those people, that's the biggest thing of all. That's bigger than anything.
Mick Jagger said that you inspired Brown Sugar.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. So, you know, I owe this to my mom. My mom wrote these lyrics. You know, way back in 1958, her and I sat in an apartment on the third floor in Revere, Massachusetts, and she wrote this little poem called She's My Rock and Roll Baby. And she said, well, why don't you put some music to this on your guitar? And that's what I began to do. And later on, Frank Slay and Bob Crew changed the title and a few lines to rhyme with Tallahassee Lassie. But they kept all her words. Her words was romping to the drag, cha-cha, ragamop, all those dances in there are my mom's. So I want to give her the absolute biggest credit of all. She's up there watching me and watching down on me, and she's probably dancing like crazy.
She's in rock and roll heaven, right?
Yeah, she knows everything that's going on. That's right. So yeah. I'm really excited. I'm really pleased that all this has happened, you know, in 2012.
You know, one thing I think that's very interesting when you talk about, I know that you wrote Tallahassee Lassie, and you wrote Where the Action Is for Dick Clark, I guess.
I didn't write Where the Action Is.
Oh, you didn't? Okay, I thought you did write that.
No, Tommy Boyce and Steve Vinay wrote that.
Oh, okay. But you, of course, recorded it and became synonymous with that show, and you were on it quite a bit, too.
Just like Bandstand.
Well, right? Yeah, that's what brings me to the fact that you actually were the most frequent guest star on American Bandstand in the history of the show.
That's true. I own the record for that, and had to where the action is. But you know, Dick Clark has been great for me. I mean, he's done so much for my career, and he's helped me along with all radio people across the world that played Freddie Cannon. You know, everybody should be thanked by me because they played me and they brought me to the top, and I can't thank everybody enough that's included. But with Dick. Dick Clark, I did live shows, I did television shows, I did everything with him, you know, and it's sad because he's no longer doing anything like that because of the two strokes that he's had, and but he's very mind in decisions. He can make a lot of decisions. His mind is very clear, so he's doing okay, you know. He just can't get around like he used to.
Well, this is what Dick Clark, actually, who wrote the introduction to the book, folks. He said, right. I will always remember that 19-year-old kid from Boston who came to the Philadelphia studios where American Bandstand was taped. He was very excited to have his first hit song pressed onto a 45 RPM record and has never lost that enthusiasm. He's been a wonderful friend of mine since that first day I met him in 1959. After reading this book, I hope you will feel that Freddie Cannon is one of your dear friends, too. Great, great words.
Oh yeah, he was so nice to me. I mean, his whole family is. You know, I talked to him a few weeks ago on the phone because he really doesn't want to see too many people because the way his condition that he's paralyzed on one side and he's in a wheelchair all the time, most of the time. I don't know if he try to help him to get up, his wife or Carrie or anybody. I don't know if he can really walk around. He may be, I don't know, but when I seen him the last time, he was in a wheelchair. So you know. It's sad because this is a legend and an icon in television and music. So, I just hope he goes on forever, no matter what condition he's in. Like I said, he's got all his senses. He can make a lot of decisions. So Dick Clark is still there. So, you know, we're rooting for him.
You know, Freddie, there's a lot of kids listening to the show, too, you know, and their parents. And I one of the things I think that flows through your book is kind of the theme of following your dreams, dreaming big and working hard and getting what you want. For kids out there that want to get in the music business, it's changed quite a bit, but what advice would you give them?
Well, that's why I said in the book, you know, if you think that you got to write songs. I mean, you can't be a band or a singer singing other people's hit songs, you know, covering them and all. It'll never work. I don't care what you try. You can try it all day long. You may get lucky with one, but it'll never be a sustained thing. You must write. And if you are a person that wants, as a singer, a girl or a guy or a band, and you want to make it in this business, and you get that, you got to have that drive, and you don't want to stop. Even if you have a job, you know, when you have some open time on a weekend or whatever, go back to doing that again. Keep trying. Don't ever quit. If you're loved, my whole expression here is, Mark, is there's plenty of room for everybody. If you can make it, you're going to make it. If you make the right decision and write the right song, because the key is the song. It's not how good you can sing. It's the song.
That's true, and you're absolutely right. And by the way, the money is in writing the songs as well.
That's right. So that's why I say do that. But the song, like I said, if you can write a song and really nobody who knows what's a hit and what isn't a hit record,
right,
or a hit song these days. But you try and you keep going and something it just comes out of nowhere. Something can happen. So you don't want to give up because you never know. If someone's listening or someone's watching, or your song is on the internet, something will start something going. And once the buzz is going, then you're on your way. So to all the young people and the young kids out there who do listen to you or through their parents are listening to this, encourage them to do it. You know, keep what they're doing as working or in school, but when you have it, you have the time. You know, and you're writing songs. That's what you got to do. Keep doing that. Keep singing, and something can happen. And I firmly believe that.
We're talking with Freddie Boom Boom Cannon, and if you read the book called Where the Action Is, you'll learn all these great things about him that I never knew. Like, for instance, Paul McCartney is in a way your boss.
In a way, he is, yeah. He publishes all my songs, all the records that I had over the years. But I do own all my masters. I own all the masters to these songs, every one of them. So, you know, if someone wants to make a deal for a song of mine, like Tallahassee, Palisades, Way Down Yonder, New Orleans, or Action, or anything like that, they have to come to me for the master. But they have to go to Paul McCartney's company, MPL, to clear the publishing. So, you know, he controls that, and I control the master. So, in a way, we have to work hand in hand. He's not there. He's got, you know, this company he's got is big. So he has, you know, hundreds of people working for him. And, you know, he's a genius. This guy wrote with John Lennon, wrote some of the greatest rock and roll records in history. So, you know, it's nice. I mean, it works out good, and it's nice to be able to mention Paul McCartney owning my material.
Well, it's interesting if you think about it, because, you know, they have to make an agreement with you to use that original version of Palisades Park, and
right.
also with Paul for
right.
the musical publishing rights. But in a way, when you're in a film like X-Men First Class, which came out last year and was a number one box office film, that helps you as well.
Yes, because first thing, what they do, you know, in all cases of something with film or television, they go to the publisher first, because the publisher will set the standard and set the financial, whatever the money's going to be up front and in advance for whatever the song they want to use. So they go to him, that company, MPL, first. Then they have to come to me. Now, whatever MPL says, we want X amount of dollars, I get the exact same thing. So if they think high, I get high. You know, I get the most of the money that they get. So, you know, works out great. I mean, the X-Men thing was very, very lucrative.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the other thing I didn't know about until I read the book was that I knew that you were on TV all the time, because I remember seeing you when I was a kid, watching you on all the different shows, like American Bandstand and Where the Action Was, things like that, and some of the other shows that were around, too, like Hullabaloo and things like that. But I didn't know that you actually were in some films as well, like something called Just for Fun in 1963 and teen cult horror film called Village of the Giants in 65. Do you ever get to, are those on video at all?
Yeah, I think you can get those on video. I have a copy of the video of Village of the Giants. I don't have Just for Fun, but I have that one. But that Just for Fun one was, it's titled to speaks for itself. I mean, I laugh at when I see it, because it was a musical film. And, you know, it had singers in England hanging upside down from a ceiling singing songs. You know, with the furniture upside down, it was crazy. It was I don't know where this came from. I did it because you know, I got paid good, and I was in England, and it was a lot of fun to do it. But the Village of the Giants, you know, a lot of big stars came out of that movie. You know, the little I'm trying to think of Bo Bridges, and there's you know, you can go on. There's a bunch of people in that movie who became superstars. What's his name? On the Andy Griffith Show, the little kid.
Ron Howard.
Ronnie Howard's in that movie.
Wow.
Now, Ronnie Howard's a big producer and director today.
Sure.
And he was little boy then. So, you know, being on the set like that, I sang just the one song, but to be on the set to see these people, because they were getting ready to film the next scene, I would do my scene, and they were going to do the next scene, which was the Giants. You know, they were coming around. You'd have to see the movie, but it was a fun movie to do, and that's why it's a cult movie, because of all these actors that are in it, you know, became something later.
And of course, the famous singer, Freddie Boo Boom Cannon's in it too.
Well, you know, I did my best.
Now, I wanted to know what it felt to be watching a movie, Confessions of the Dangerous, and I also saw actually had someone portraying you in the
film. George Clooney, who directed that movie, wanted to that kid in Canada, was a young kid, wanted to sing Palisades Park live. He wanted to re-record it so that he could put it in the movie, but George Clooney said no. He said, no, I want to use the original record of Freddie Cannon on this thing, and you can lip-sync to that record.
Hmm.
And that's, you know, he said, no, this is what I want. So the kid didn't get it. He got the acting part of that one song, And it worked out great for me again, you know, with Paul McCartney.
Exactly. Yeah. And you have shared the stage with so many people, so many legends. The book is filled with, you know, talking about name dropping. Your career is a big name dropping because you've been with so many different people up. And first of all, before we get into some of the people that you've worked with, people that are listening right now that may not remember those days, how did you come from Revere and become a nationally known singer? What was the big step? What was the big break that happened to get you to where you were?
I think the big break was this jockey named Arnie Wu Ginsburg. If it wasn't for him on WMEX in Boston, and also Allentown, Pennsylvania, WAEB radio there, both of those places, they were testing the record. Both of those people broke Freddie Cannon. They you know, right out of the box, they broke Tallahassee Lassie wide open. So it was, I give those people credit for that.
Arnie Wu did that to a lot of people in Boston and WMSX. With the part of that, the good guys there.
Right.
Yeah.
He did. He was a great disc jockey, a lot of fun, and he always tried to help me.
He was a good guy.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about after that you became a huge star. Tallahassee Lassie breaks, becomes a national hit. Was Palisades Park the next one that broke?
No, Palisades Park came later. Came in 1962.
Oh, okay. And that was an unusual circumstance because a lot of people out there don't know. Someone today said to me, "So Freddie wrote that great song, Palisades Park." I said, "No. You know who wrote that song? It was Chuck Barris from the Gong Show." And they said, "No."
Yeah.
But he did write that, right?
He wrote it. Yep. He did. He wrote it. I don't know. He only wrote one song in his whole life, I think. He probably wrote some other little things, but that one big song, and he never wrote anything else. But it was a great song. It told a great story. And, you know, as you talk to me, you see, you keep bringing that song up. Because people, when I go do live shows, I have to sing that song. If I don't sing it, it's like, you know, it's like they're upset. You know, they want to hear it. So only because the song was so big and it was played to death on radio. It was like a national anthem over and over and over again. Not like all the other records that I had, but that record was played so much that it stuck in everybody's head.
You know, I'm skipping around in the book because there's so many different things that I wanted to talk to you about while I have you on the line.
You know what? I won't be too long with you because I got another interview coming in pretty soon.
Okay.
How long are you going to go?
I only have 2 more hours to record.
How much?
2 more hours.
No, I can't do 2 hours. No, really. I mean, I hope you're joking.
I am joking with you.
Okay.
But
I have another interview going to come in a little bit.
You and I had a similar circumstance in our lives. In August of 1977, I got the news that Elvis Presley died, and I went into like a stupor in a locker room where I was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I didn't move for about 9 hours. And I understand that when you were about 13 years old, when Hank Williams died, you had that same kind of reaction. You draped your room in black and were in mourning.
Same thing, right. To me, Hank Williams, I like to think that people in the music business, I brought that up a little while back when we were talking about kids getting started. Hank Williams wrote country songs, but his songs could have crossed over into pop rock and roll music, rhythm and blues. And for some reason, he had that style, and he had it. And this is why, when he died, I thought this guy wrote and sang such the great records. What great records he wrote! I mean, he must have had, who knows, what 30 hits, 15 to 30 hit songs in the country music field. They could have easily been on the Billboard charts in the rock and roll pop era, easily. So. Yeah, he's a big influence on me. I mean, I listen to him, and to this day, I listen. You know, if you listen to the Stones album, they covered one of his songs, my record and his record.
Yep.
I don't know, I can't remember which one.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember the name of it either.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but Let's go back to 1959. You were 19 years old. The beginning of the year, you were a delivery boy for a jewelry company. At the end of the year, you were a huge rock star playing with all these people. What were some of the thoughts that you have as you think about some of the people that you performed with, hosting shows with Connie Francis and Sam Cooke and Fats Domino and the Platters, all these people, the Doors, Madonna, Prince? Just talk a little bit about some of these folks, if you can.
Well, I didn't do any shows with the Madonna, Prince, and those people because they're more in the current era, you know. But I worked with Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley and all the ones you named. And, you know, what it was for me was a schooling, because when I worked with those big legends, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis, Chuck Berry, Little Richard, I worked Fats Domino, I worked with all those guys. When I worked with them and they were the headliners on the show, I would make sure I'd stand off stage to watch them, because what you'll learn from watching the legends. You watch from guys who really knew what they were doing on stage, you know, and to grab a crowd and get the crowd involved with their show. So I would watch them, and Chuck Berry had it down, man, you know, like at the back of his hand. I mean, he knew exactly what he was going to do on stage. And all these other acts, you know, Little Richard was the same. So to be with them and sing with them and some of these other stars, to me, it was a schooling for me. I was like a student, and they were the teachers.
And I apologize, because I was talking about, my notes, I was talking about American Bandstand, who they debuted. So that was not the same thing we were talking about. One other thing in the book that you talked about, that you wrote about, was teen idols. And I was really interested in your take on Fabian and Frankie Avalon and Bobby Rydell and all those guys, Bobby Darin. You talked about things about the teen idol game. Tell us just a brief synopsis.
You know, I'm talking about the Bobbies, the Frankies, the Tommies, and the Johnnies. But you know, Bobby Darin shouldn't be included in that bunch, because he was separated from everybody else. If you want to go in that area, because he wrote his songs, he wrote and he sang. Maybe he's good looking, and they classified it. But I didn't want to be classified as one of those Johnny Bobbies, Frankies, and Tommies. They stuck me in with the teenage idols and that kind of music, and I was a rock and roll singer. That's what my records are all about. If you listen to them, I'm nothing like those other people that we just talked about. Nothing. I mean, so I always want to emphasize that for people hear this, that they know that I'm a true rock and roll artist, not a rock artist. I mean, if I wasn't, then why would the Rolling Stones, Robert Plant, Chuck Berry, and these people all think that I was original and influenced them? I mean, especially the Stones and Robert Plant and Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, you were definitely a rocker. There's no question about that. In fact, there was one show you played in England where you, Eddie Cochran, and Gene Vincent. You can't get much more rockier than that.
That's right. So, you know, it amazes me that there's always people still writing little stories out there, and I hope they hear this, to know that, I want to be separated from those people. I did shows with all these people, and to be honest with you, Mark, I don't think I belonged in that show when I worked with those kind of people, because it was like night and day. You know, this music is soft, and they sang it pretty, and they all want to be like Frank Sinatra, and they all want to be this, and they want to be that. Not me. I want to be Freddie, and Freddie's known to rock, and that's what I do.
Well, I know you got to get going. I wish that I had a copy of your new compilation. Someone told me there's a new one out there, but I never connected with the record company to get it. But I guess you have a new compilation, the DVD, there's a CD that's available?
Yeah, it's on Shell Records. And let me just mention you can get my book or read a little stuff on my website, which is freddiecannon.com. That's number one. And the other thing is, to end it with this, and I don't know if you can play music on your show. Do you play music?
We do play a little bit, yeah, just clips.
Just clips. All right, well, I mean, you can cut this in and out, but I since the Rolling Stones covered Tallahassee Lassie and then just came out with their Some Girls, a reissue album of Some Girls, and the song is in it, when I heard that about 3 weeks ago, I wrote a new song called Covered by the Rolling Stones. Now it's been cut. We've done it with my sons. we think it's a hit. We're waiting to hear. I can't get into detail, but we're waiting to hear what's going to happen. I don't know if you ever got the MP3 of that song. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Did you?
No, I didn't.
You didn't get it? I'll make sure you get it. You know, if you're only going to play a clip, though, it ain't going to do any good. You have to hear the whole song. But this day and age, it's very hard for an old rock and roll act to get started. But we all of us, and there's a few people, program directors, all feel that this record's a hit. And if it is, I'm going to be starting all over again. So I've got my fingers crossed.
That'll be kind of cool. Well, one thing I will do, we're going to put up a link to your website along with this interview.
Okay.
So we'll drive a lot of people over there, and hopefully they'll listen to a sample of it on their site and want to go buy it and record it and request it from radio stations.
Right. So, you know, and I'll have it. Make sure you can get a copy. I'll have the girl, Sharon, send you one so that you can you have an MP3 and then. Because I don't know if it's on my website. I don't think we loaded it on there yet. So we're going to have to get you one, and you can load it on yours and then send it over.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Either that, or you can, maybe you guys can just post a clip on your website and get people to order it from iTunes.
Yeah, that's it. It'll go on iTunes, too. We're going to put it up on iTunes. But it's definitely, I wanted to mention it at the end of this interview, only because there's a lot of people, I mean, people with ears, you know, that listen to music, program directors, who think that this is a hit. And the only problem is we're fighting Freddie Cannon getting played on the radio, you know, to get the thing started. But there's going to be somebody out there who's going to take a chance. And when they do, you're going to see something, a buzz is going to start. I just feel it.
Well, I can tell you that this show's
really
national, and we have a lot of people from all over Hollywood and everywhere else listening to the show, so you never know what will happen from
That's right. From that. Okay, all right, good, Mark.
But it was really a pleasure talking to you, Freddie. And
I appreciate you having me on, and I'm sorry that I got to run to another interview.
That's okay. It's a great book, though.
I've been doing this all week long.
With the Action is a great book from Polish America, and again, you can get it at freddiecannon.com. Thanks so much for coming on the program.
Huh?
It's a pleasure talking to you.
All right, Mark. Yeah, but don't forget Amazon and Barnes & Noble also.
Well, I wouldn't rather have it buy it from you, right? Make a few more.
They can, but it's okay. It's okay if they go to Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The Nook, it's on all those things, so you can find it anywhere, you know.
Oh, so you can get it for your Kindle and read it on the Kindle, huh?
Yeah, you can.
Very cool.
All right, well, you take care. And
you
thank
too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay,
take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.